Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, a brand new Masechta, Maseches Sanhedrin. Incidentally, the word Sanhedrin, according to the Tesis Yontif, means Dayanim, judges. According to the Rav, the Bar Tanura, it's sort of a joint word. Sanhedrin means Soin in Hadras Panim. You know, the judges, the Dayanim, do not get affected. They don't get impressed with the presentation of their oppressive presentation of their litigants. They remain impartial. The Yafa Talmud brings in the name of the Eini HaEda that Sanhedrin is also a joint word, Sana Doirain. They dislike gifts and bribery. In the Sefer Hoin Asher, he brings that in Maseches Sanhedrin, if you count up the Mishnayis, it's 71 Mishnayis, which correspond to the grand court of Shivim Ve'echa, the 71 judges in the Supreme Court in the that's it, in the Beis HaMikdash. In any case, we begin Maseches Sanhedrin, and as Tosis points out, sequentially, it comes right after the three Bavas, the three, three Masechtas, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basa, which discuss all the intricate laws of Dinei Mamonis, discussing various disputes and halachis, monetary halachis, and now we come to the point of delving into the process of how these things are clarified, how these things are litigated, how we're meant to judge these cases. So begins our Mishnah, Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha. How do we address monetary issues, monetary disputes? Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha, you have three Dayanim. As some explained, the number three indicates three separate, distinct mindsets, perspectives. You have the sort of the generous approach, Midas HaChesed. Right, the Balatani brings that the Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel were rooted in Midas HaChesed, and that's why we find that typically they tend to be more lenient in terms of their opinions, in terms of the halachic stance they take, versus Beis Shammai, which adopted Midas HaGvura, Midas HaDin. They're connected to that perspective, and therefore they were typically more strict and stringent. So you have sort of two extremes, and you have the third perspective, which is the third Dayan, who represents the middle of the road, sort of a compromise, a bridge between the two extreme perspectives, so to speak. So you have the full gamut of understanding, of analysis, of human perspective. So that's perhaps how we get to the idea of Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha. Three Dayanim sit down to deal with Dinei Mamonos. And in specific, you have Gzelois, V'Chavolois. These are examples of Dinei Mamonos. By the way, the Gemara will bring a source from the Psukim that we have three Dayanim, because it says the word Elohim, which refers to Dayanim, it says it three times. Hence, three Dayanim are required to conduct Eidin Torah. And specifically, we have examples of Gzelois v'Chavolois. Gzelois says Rashi. Oh, if we have Rashi. Gzelois, for instance, is a person who is, you were given a pikadon, an item for safekeeping, and the Shomer, the fellow who took it into his possession, denied ever taking it or denied having it, claims he has returned it or whatever. That is a form of gezela. Likewise, a person snatches an item from his friend. That is also considered gezela, as opposed to just denying. Suppose a person borrowed money and denies the loan, denies the claim. Although that's improper and certainly a form of stealing, but that's not, technically, that's not stamped with the title Gezela. That's not called Gezela, because as Rashi brings, money that's borrowed is meant to be spent. It's technically your money now. It's your money to spend. So although you're meant to return it, but failing to return it does not technically constitute Gezela. Okay, so Gezela refers to a very specific form of robbery, of stealing. Gezelos v'chavolos, personal damages. So as we learned back in Bava Kama, if a person harms somebody else bodily, he must pay up. And it encompasses five different types of payments: nezek, tsar, pain, right? Ripui, medical bills, sheves, loss of wages, boishes, embarrassment, if there's any. So those are gzeles v'chavolos. These must be conducted b'shloisha with three dayanim. nezek, v'chati nezek. For instance, you have a isho, you have an animal who's a mu'ud, who's known to harm, known to be wild, and it causes, you know, property damage, or a person who does the same, he must pay fully. That's nezek. V'chatzi nezek, half damages is by a shoyer tam, an animal is not known to be, you know, wild animal, relatively tame animal, tam, tame, very similar sounding words. So in that case, you only pay 50% of those damages. Tashlume kefil, if one steals and he was caught, he must pay back double. V'tashlume arba v'chamisha, if he stole an animal, so if it's a an ox, and he slaughters it, or he sells it, or if it's a, so then you pay back, or if it's a sheep, right, and he does the same, so in one case you pay four, in one case you pay five, in the larger animal you pay five, the seh you pay only four, so that's tashlum al brav chamisha. Once again, these things are conducted b'shloisha with three dayanim. Hoynes v'mafata, forms of inappropriate interaction with a woman, v'mitzi shemra, okay, so if it's forced or convinced, or v'mitzi shemra, in a case where a person pretends or alleges that his the wife that he was, the isha that he engaged, that he was mekadesh, turns out to be he alleges that she had improper relations, and it turns out that he's just making it up. He has to he's fined. He must pay 100 meo kesef, and these things must be conducted with a bezin, through a bezin of three dayanim b'shloisha. Divrei Meir. V'chachamim oimrim, they take exception to the last example. They say, Meitzi Shemra, this fellow needs to approach the next level, Bezdin. So we have the basic Bezdin, which is three, we, you know, like a small claims court. Then we have the you know, the next level, which is the, you know, superior court, Be'esrim v'shloisha, which have 23 dayanim, and the highest court is, you know, the Supreme Court has 71. So we're going to gradually, you know, sort of climb the ladder. We start with the basic bezin of three. We move up to Esr Mishloisha, which is typically the number of dayanim required if the proceedings involve potential for capital punishment for Misa. So it involves a sin, a violation, which can generate death. So you need 23 dayanim. And the Chachamim maintain that a Moitzi Shemra is loosely related to Misa. Moitzi Shemra needs Be'esrim Rishlosha 23 dayanim. You know why? Bepnei she'yesh bo'inin nefashos, because it potentially, if it turns out that what she did, what he's claiming against her is true, she did znus, so it can lead to Misa. Bepnei she'yesh bo'inin nefashos, she can be put to death, and therefore it requires 23 dayanim. What about makos? If a person violates an avera, transgresses something which generates the 39 lashes, Bishlosha, all you need is 3 dayanim. Meshumar Bishmoil Omru, in the name of Bishmoil, who said, we bump it up, Be'esrim v'shloisha, 23 dayanim are required, and of course the Gemara will discuss this in length. What about Ibra HaChodesh? You want to add a date to the month? Based on the, you know, the lunar cycles, b'shloisha, 3 dayanim are required. Ibra HaShana, making a leap year, requires also b'shloisha, 3 dayanim. Divrei Meir. Shmuel Leil Omer, it's a whole system. You begin deliberating with 3 dayanim, they sort of initiate the discussion to explore the possibility of Ibur, b'shloisha maschilim, but then we add 2 more dayanim. And this is based on Psukim, we'll see in the Gemara later, B'chamisha Noisin V'Noisin. The actual deliberations take place with 5 Dayanim. And then once they get to close to closing it up, the Garmin B'Shiva, we need to add 2 more Dayanim, 2 more judges, for a total of 7. But that's only the preferred system. V'im Gomer B'Gimel Mu'Beres, if they conclude with just the original 3, and without adding to 5 and 7, it still works. Smicha Zekin. Here we speak about the par he'elim davar shel tzibur, if the community at large sinned a very grave sin, turns out, you know, it was a advertent sin, and they have to bring a special carbon called par he'elim davar. The dayanim must get involved, and they do smicha. They sort of lean on the animal and prepare it for the hakrava. So how many zakenim, how many dayanim do we need? 3. Barifas egla, this is an egla rufa, so if we find a victim on the road, killer unknown, the closest city must bring a calf and the roof of the head, so that's the Arifa so Egla, and that must be conducted b'shloisha with 3 judges. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. B'doim b'chamisha, he learns from a pasuk, 5 dayanim are required instead of just 3. Hachalitza, so this is the Yevama whose husband passed away without leaving any offspring. So the brother of that departed fellow must either marry the woman or do chalitza. She removes his shoe and she spit and all that. So that has to be done in front of three dayanim. We learn this from Sukkim in Mesachas Yevamos. V'hamiyun, here's a chiddush. Miyun is where an isha, an underage isha below as mitzvah, had been married off not by her father, because that's a real legitimate marriage, min ha-Torah. A father is authorized to marry off his daughter, but he was speaking, there's no father, she's an orphan. So her family, her mother, her brother married her off. That marriage is only considered valid midrabbanan, and she has a right to just turn around, reject her husband, and walk away. It's called miyun. I'm disinterested in you. But it must be done b'shloisha in the presence of three dayarim. Why? Says the Rashi here. Although it's a takana de rabbanon, we say call the tikkun rabbanon kein deraisa. Tikkun rabbanon established their system in a way which models the deraisa system. Now, what does Rashi mean kein deraisa tikkun? Which aspect of the deraisa requires which termination of marriage min haTorah requires three dayarim? So some learn, some bring a raya from here that a get needs to have the Nadi Yehuda brings it, a get needs to have three dayanim, which is a big chiddush. Others disagree, they bring a raya from the Gemara Rava Basra. Perhaps you don't need a bezin to issue a get, all you need is, you know, the edim or whatever. So some learn, the Maram Shif learns, that Rashi means, just to compare it to the previous case, we spoke about chalitza, which requires sloisha, based on the psukim. Miyun as well. Miyun is very similar to chalitza. You know why? Because they're both verbally oriented. Chalitza is sort of a verbal process. I mean, you pull off the shoe, but there is speaking, there is declarations, psukim, recitals. Miyun is very similar. She has to, you know, verbally reject her husband and walk away. So the Chachamim sort of compare the two things, and in both cases, you know, we don't want to differentiate, and we require three dayanim. Not a ravai. So you have fruit, which is fresh, you know, off a young tree. It's the fourth year growth. So after the 3 years of Erla, the fourth year is called Neta Revai. Revai is Lashon of the fourth, Revi, right? The fruit is somewhat holy. You have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim, and eat it there. Otherwise, you have to redeem it where you are and take the money eventually and spend in Yerushalayim. So let's say you want to redeem this fruit, and it's a little bit of a tricky type of situation. The fruit is sort of rotting. There isn't really a known fixed market value. Or Umaser Sheni, you have a Maser Sheni fruit, Shendom of Yiduin, whose value isn't really determined. You must appraise it. You need to have three dayanim to sit down and do that b'shloisha. Hegdesh is b'shloisha. You want to redeem hegdesh, something that you donated to the Beis HaMikdash. You want to redeem it. Three dayanim. Ha'erechen, ha'metaltim b'shloisha. If a person promises his own erech, his value, whatever, and he's going to donate, you know, items in lieu of payments. So the more we'll discuss this, you need three dayanim to determine value as well. B'shloisha. B'dayim me'echad mehen koyin. Be careful. One of them must be a koyin. And again, this is learned from the psukim. Vakarkois, likewise, if you try to redeem property belonging to Hegdish, here we have to have a full minyan, Tisha, 9 Yisraelim b'koyin plus a koyin for a total of 10 people involved in appraising that property. More complicated, complex process. V'adam, likewise, if you want to appraise the value of a person who had been turned into Hegdish, Kayetzben, likewise, it requires this number of people. So now we're sort of concluded with the first a level of dayanim, the three dayanim system. Now we move up to the next level, the 23 dayan bezin, which is typically applicable to dinei nefashos, capital punishment issues. Be'esem reshloisha, 23 judges are required. Hareveya, an animal which interacted physically with a woman, vanirbahu, a man interacted with physically. Be'esem reshloisha, here again, it involves capital punishment of that animal. So just like by a person, 23 dayanim are required, same with an animal. Taking of life requires 23 dayanim. Perhaps he's a gilgal of a person. In any case, be'eser b'shloisha shenema v'arakta so'isha v'esa behema v'oyma v'esa behema taroigu. So clearly the pasuk is sort of connecting the capital punishment pertaining to a human, to the isha, with the capital punishment applicable to the animal. Both require this formal system involving 23 dayanim. What about a sher haniskal, an animal who killed a person? Again, Be'esem Rishloisha, 23 dayanim are required to put the animal to death. Shenemar, Hashar Yisokel, so you killed, you stole the animal. V'gambal of Yumas, and also his owners put to death. And of course, it's not literal. So apparently, the pasuk is connecting, teaching us that there's a connection, a correlation between the owner and the animal. Just like if the owner would encounter a death penalty, whatever the situation may be, he would require 23 dayanim, same with the animal. Kimisas abaylam, kach misas asher. A full bezin is required. Likewise, when determining whether to put a wild animal to death, animal that's threatening, hazaev, a wolf, a ri, a lion, a dove, a bear, a namer, a leopard, a bardless, some sort of weasels, animal, a nachash, a snake, all these misasin, besim, shloisha. Believe it or not, you need a full bezin of 23 dayanim to sit down, deliberate. Imagine you have the snake in the cage and they're sitting and they're discussing, analyzing, determining his fate. Besim Rishleish. Rabbi Elazar Omer, you don't need a full bezin. You don't need a formal process at all. Just jump at it and kill it and save the day. Kol HaKoidim LaHargan, whoever jumps ahead and kills the animal, Zacha, he has attained a mitzvah. Good for him. Rabbi Kiva Omer Misasin Besim Rishleish, he disagrees. No, a formal system is required, which is pretty much in line with the Tanakhama. What's the Machlekes? The Gemara will discuss. So we've concluded section 2 of the Mishnah involving the 23 Dayan Bezin. Now we move on to section 3, the Supreme Court in Yerushalayim, which has 71 Dayanim. That's required for more serious deliberations. Ain't done unless a Shevet. When getting involved in deliberating the fate of a Shevet of Klal Yisrael who committed Avodah Zarah, for that you need a full Bezin of 71 Dayanim. V'loyes Navi HaSheker, or a false prophet, V'loyes HaKoyin Gadol who violated, El Alpi Bezin Shashivim Be'echad, when they deliberate his fate, Dinei Nefashis, of course, we need a full bezin of Shivim Be'echad. Ve'imotzin l'lechemes ha'reshus, nor do we declare a arbitrary war, so it's any war other than the initial war involving capturing Eretz Yisrael, it's called Mechemes ha'reshus. Once again, we require the ratification of the full bezin, El Alpi Bezin Shal Shivim Be'echad. Ve'imotzin al'ir, likewise, when expanding the Yerushalayim municipal boundaries, which involves expanding the Kedusha of the city, we need the full Bezin of Al-Azores, or expanding the Azores of the Beis HaMikdash. LLP Bezin must be done on order of the Bezin Shal Shivim Ve'echad. Ein Oysen Sanhedrin L'Shvatim, likewise, we can only appoint the courts, the 23 Dayanim courts, which the Shvatim has, so each Shevet had a Bezin. So that must be appointed by the Grand Bezin, El Alpi Bezin Shivim Be'echad. Likewise, in Oisin Dachas, that's a city that was convinced, that was coerced, they were pulled into doing Avodah Zarah, so that city is put to death. So again, you need the full Bezin, El Alpi Bezin Shivim Be'echad. Once on this topic, says the Mishnah, in Oisin Niran Dachas B'Sfar, meant to know that we never condemn Ir HaNedachas if it's situated, alongside the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, between the Eretz Yisrael and the Goyim, for concern that it might jeopardize the safety and security of Eretz Yisrael. If the border city is destroyed, it's going to make the whole country, exposed and vulnerable. V'lo Yisholesh, nor do we ever condemn three cities next to each other for fear that it might, generate this abandoned, stretch of land, this abandoned gap. But one or two cities near each other, that you can do. Okay, now we go into the source. How do we know? How do we get these numbers? 3 on a basic bezin, 23 on a more advanced bezin, 71 on the Supreme Court. Sanhedrin Gedolah, we start with the Sanhedrin Gedolah, which is the 71 count bezin. Ha'yisar Sheshivim Be'echad Uktana, and the lesser, smaller bezin, how do we get to 71 on the superior court? Shenama, we have a pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu. As for the Yeshivim Ish, Mizikni Yisrael, gather for me 70 elders to make the bezin. And of course, this was in addition to Moshe. Moshe Al Gabein. Moshe was the Av bezin. So you get to 71. The Ramban, by the way, says 70 is the again. It encompasses the full gamut of Deyos Bnei Adam, of various perspectives and understandings, and it's important to have that all sitting together so they can deliberate and attack the subject matter from all possible angles. So you have the 70 plus Moshe Rabbeinu, which represents, I think he says, Hashem, who's sort of the source of all these deyos. Rabbi Da'imer, actually, it wasn't 71, it was Shivim. It was a total of 70. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't really part of the count. Hence the source for the 71 Supreme Court. What about the 23 Superior Court? How do we get to 23 on the medium bezin. Shenamar v'shavtu eida v'itzilu eida. This is when the bezin deliberates dina nefashes. So the pasuk describes two groups, so to speak. You have the eida going strict, going guilty, and v'itzilu eida. You have the group vying for him, protecting him. Right? So there's sort of a dispute within the bezin. Some are going this way, some are going this way. How much is eida? How many dayanim? Right? Eida shefetes, eida matzeles. So you have one group considering his guilt, the other one considering his innocence. Harikan esrim, that gets you to 20. How do we know? How do we know eida means 10? Umnayin le'eida she'yasara, we have by koirach, shenemar, admasai, by the meraglim. So the pasuk refers to them as eida, and we know there were 12 meraglim, minus the tzadikim Yeshua v'kalev, right? Shenemar admasai le'eida hara'a hazois, the bad eida, yotzu Yeshua v'kalev, we deduct two tzadikim Yeshua v'kalev, it goes from 10, from 12 down to 10. So we see that Eida refers to 10. By the way, one so interesting point. Why is it that the Torah, you know, I believe it's the Gemara in Brachas or elsewhere, that learns from this Pasuk that Dvarim Shebekdusha, how do we know that Dvarim Shebekdusha, like, you know, Baruch Hu, Kedusha, and all that, we need to have a minion. Shehiba Asara. How do we know that 10 people, 10 Yidin, bring down the Kedusha, bring down the Shechina? Because it says that Hashem is v'nikdash to b'soich b'nei Yisrael. Hashem brings his kedusha into b'nei Yisrael, and we learn from toich kibaldu mitoich ha'ida hazois. That's a lashon that's said over there by the raglim. So obey by a koirach, and then eida we learn from the meraglim that eida means 10. So we see that the shechina arrives, and we have 10 yidden. Why do we have to go to? Why did Torah have to provide source for Shechina Ba'asara from these psukim, from negative story, negative experiences, bad people, Rishoyim, Koirach, and Meraglim. Beautiful word. Shechina is not dependent upon our level. Rather, dependent upon our essence. A Yid essentially is Toiv, is perfectly pure inside. In terms of our deeds, sometimes it's questionable, it's problematic, but our essence is still pure, unaffected. Hence the Shechina. The Shechina arrives not based on our virtue, on our level, on our spiritual madriga, based on our metzius, on our essence. And that's the lesson. That the Shechina comes when there are 10 yidden, period. It could be the biggest tzaddikim or otherwise. And that's the lesson. That's why it's learned from the biggest Rishayim. They can still bring down Shechina. So we see the value of a yid, the chashivas of the essence of a neshama, and that invites the Shechina. Okay, in any case, so we have the number 10 from the Meraglim. So you get to an Eida Shefetes, an Eida Matzeles. So far, the Sanhedrin has 20. What about 23? How do you get an additional 3? The answer is like this. In order to facilitate an effective judging system, because the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim instructs us, when it comes to finding his guilt, don't follow the majority. So if you have one, in terms of the count, it's one over to the guilty side, you don't follow the majority in that case. So one cannot tip the scale to the guilty side. Okay, so only to find him guilty. But Shomeyani, we can infer from this, that to find his innocence, to discover his innocence, one dayan can tip the scale. She'eye imam l'toiva. Okay? Only the ra, one is not enough. You need two. Right? Two to tip the scale to find his guilt. Right? It has to be sort of, 12 against 10, right? But L'toiva, to find him innocent, one is enough to tip the scale. So now the question is, why does the same pasuk have to come back and repeat and teach us the same thing again, that we follow the majority? That we follow the majority. You just told me. We always follow the majority. But L'rois, you need two. L'toiva, one is enough. So why does Torah have to repeat itself? The answer is like this. Oh, I already jumped the scale. The thing is like this. Let's go step by step. L'siach Rabbi L'roi says, when it comes to Ra'a, Rabbim doesn't do the trick. Okay, so you can't tip the scale L'Ra'a based on the Rabbim, based on the majority count. But L'toiva, you can. Okay? So far, so good, right? So why didn't the Torah have to repeat itself in the same pasuk, includes the words Achri Rabim Lahatis, to teach you that although we've just said that L'Rois, to find him guilty, you don't follow the majority count, that's when there's only one tipping the scale. But if you have two extra dayanim finding him guilty, right? So in that case, you do follow the majority. Finding him innocent, tipping the scale ulatayva, to his benefit, is different than to his detriment. It's a similar system, but slightly different. You need hatayaschal latayva pi echad. In terms of finding him innocent, in terms of exonerating him, even one dayan can tip the scale in his favor. But to find him guilty, you need two on the guilty side. Two more on the guilty side. Okay, so bottom line, you have to have at least 22 dayanim. Because, let's go back a second. The starting point was, it's 10 against 10. 10 out of the taiva, 10 out of the ra. So let's get you to 20. So you're sort of deadlocked at this point, right? How can you find him guilty with two dayanim tipping the scale to the guilty side? Apparently you have to have 22 dayanim to get you to a potential 12 against 10. But that's not enough, because then you have a potential deadlock bezin. You can't conduct a din Torah, right? Vein bezin shakel. You can never allow the bezin to have equal, even numbers, right? Because then you can get stuck. Apparently, you have to make it uneven. You have to add another dayin, and that gets you to 23. For a total of 23. Continues the mission of a kami hei ba'ir, v'tei ru'il sanhedrin. How big a city, could every little hamlet, every village, establish a sanhedrin, a 23-member court? No, you need to have a minimal number of residents to justify a Sanhedrin. How much is that? May have asked from 120. The Gemara will discuss, explain exactly why. Rabbi Nechami Omer, you need way more than that. You need 230 people to justify the establishment of a Sanhedrin. Masai Mishloishim. You know why 230? Keneged Sarei Asareis. If you recall in Parshas Mishpatim, Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu Shver, advised them to establish the delegation system, right? Delegate the authority to the Sarim, Sarei Meyai, Sarei Alafim, right? And the lowest level authority were the Sarei Asareis, those in charge of 10. So you see that the smallest number of constituents is 10. You need to have at least 10 individuals under your authority to be considered a srara, to be considered an appointment, and hence 230 people in a town can justify the Sanhedrin of 23, leaving each dayan with 10 people under him, so to speak. Okay, says the Gemara. Let's go back to A1, to the beginning of the Mishnah. Dine mamonos b'shloisha. So monetary issues must be settled through three dayanim. Gzeilos v'chavalos, stealing and damages, which are really sort of subsets of dine mamonos. I mean, after all, they're also monetary issues. So the Mishnah is sort of repeating itself. Dine mamonos b'shloisha, which is sort of an umbrella description, and then we have subsets. Gzeilos v'chavalos require shloisha as well. Asks the Gemara, what's the repetition all about? Atu gzeilos v'chavalos. Why isn't gzeilos v'chavalos covered under the initial opening statement? Lav dine mamunos ninu. Aren't they also forms of monetary disputes? Amar bavo. Actually, the Mishnah here is telling us something, that we limit the halacha of shloisha dayanim to very specific dine mamunos situations. Not every dine mamunos requires or justifies three dayanim. Amar bavo mahin ketani. Which are the dine mamunos that require three dayanim? Mahin dine mamunos, only specifically gzeilos v'chavalos. Those have three dayanim. Aval hoidois v'halvois loy. But ordinary monetary disputes, for instance, you lent me money, I didn't, I paid you, I didn't, you admit it. Anything that involves loaning and borrowing, there we suspend the halacha of shloisha. It's not included in this requirement, and as we're going to see later, we don't need three dayanim mumchim. We're more lenient, so to speak, when it comes to those types of deliberations. The Gemara later will discuss the reason. The reason is because since it comes about through lending, through loaning, we want to facilitate loans. We want people to be encouraged to give loans rather than making it difficult to recoup their money, which will perhaps discourage them from loaning money. So we streamline and simplify the system when it comes to those types of issues. So the question now is, why does the Mishnah have to start with Dinei Mamonos and then expound and explain Zeilus v'Chavolis? Just say, instead of, you know, coming, saying general terms and then explaining yourself, just go straight to the point that Shloisha only applies to such and such. Utzricha, so actually the Mishnah does have to start the way it starts and then itemize. Deitan Dinei Mamonos. If the Mishnah would only begin and end with the word Dinei Mamonos, that's it. Habamina, I would think it covers all cases, all monetary issues. Afilo Dois Valvois, it covers even those that require three dayanim. Tana, Gzeilus v'Chavolis. That's why the Mishnah comes back and explains itself. This halacha is specific to Gzeilus v'Chavolis. But not Tohi Dois Valvois. On the other hand, Vitana Gzeilus v'Chavolis. Had the Mishnah only referenced those, but like Tana Dinei Mamonos, as opposed to adding the first part of Dinei Mamonos, Habamina, I would say, Hu Adin Afilo Dois Valvois. That although the Mishnah referred to Gzeilus v'Chavolis requiring three, perhaps the same exact applies to Hoidois v'Chavolis. So although the Mishnah mentions only Gzeilus v'Chavolis, I would say, well, it's not limited to those. V'Haidik Tani Gzeilus v'Chavolis, the reason why the Mishnah mentioned those, because, you know, that's where the topic is discussed in the Torah. Mushum de'ikor gimog d'chsivi, because the source of the idea of requiring three dayanim, the triple alehim, like we mentioned before, that actually is discussed in that topic, with Gzeilus v'Chavolis chsivi. So perhaps that's why the Mishnah, cited those as examples, but perhaps it extends to Hoidois v'Halvois as well. If the Mishnah would only say Gzeilus v'Chavolis v'Shloisha, I would say it's not limited to those. Gzeilus, where do we find the idea of Shloisha Dayanim mentioned by Gzeilus? Tachsiv v'nikra v'al habayis elohim, explains Rashi. And the Parsha uses the word Elohim, which is Dayanim. We're allowed to say Elohim because Dayanim is not they represent Hashem and Shechina, but it's a reference to Dayanim. They're in charge, appointed by sort of Hashem, right? So that's perhaps why the Lashon Elohim comes in. Rashi actually says that the word Elohim sometimes is a reference to authority, to a person high, someone in high position. He brings the pasuk Re'ena Saticha Elohim Lafaroi, right? This was by Yosef. He was appointed to a position of authority. In any case, that is by Gezela. That pasuk pertains to Gezela. Why by Gezela? So he says because it's talking about Hashem Rechinam. You were entrusted with an item, and the owner claims that you've used it, you've misused it, you've diverted it for personal use. That's a form of stealing. So this pasuk of Nikra Val Bais Elohim is in reference to Gzela. Likewise, we have the concept of Gimel Dayanim by Chavolis as well, because Chavolis means personal damages. Mali Chaval Begufoy, Mali Chaval Bebemoynoy, because what is Chavola? Ruvain harms Shimon bodily, right? Well, it's comparable to the previous case of the Shomer harming the item. What's the difference? If you harm the person, you harm his money. So we sort of compare the two things. And it is considered as though the concept of Gimel Dayanim, which is specifically mentioned by harming one's property, is also equally applicable to harming one's body. So we find that by Gzeilus v'Chavolis, there is the concept of the Gimel Dayanim. And perhaps that explains why the Mishnah relates it to those, right? Makes reference to Gzeilus v'Chavolis as prime examples of disputes that require three dayanim, because we don't mean to rule out others, like Hoidois v'Halvois. It's just that, you know, that's where it's said. That's what I would think. And that's why the Mishnah has to come back and say, no. We have to start with Dinei Mamonos b'Shloisha, general reference to all monetary disputes, and then come and explain ourselves. Okay, so that's why Tana, the Mishnah starts with Mahin Dinei Mamonos. Sort of, that's the way you read the Mishnah. Dinei Mamonos b'Shloisha means which Dinei Mamonos require three? Which ones? All cases? No. only gzeilus v'chavolos, as the Mishnah continues, but aval hadas v'alvois loy, do not require. Now, what do we mean, do not require? What element are we suspending? What element of requirement are we suspending by hadas v'alvois? Ulumai ilim adloy bin shleisha. Do you mean you're only three dayanim? One dayan, two dayanim are sufficient, really? V'amar abavo, Ravo disagrees. He says, shnayim shadonu, dinei mamres, any two dayanim that sat down and judge dinei mamres, it's invalid. Libra akoil, all agree, any dinei din, what they did is totally invalid. We need three dayanim. Ella, rather, what we're suspending is, loy bin mumchim. Sure, we need three dayanim. We don't need experts. And Rashi here explains that in this context, the word mumchen means semuchen. They got smicha, the real smicha, from your Rebbe who got it, from his Rebbe, all his Meshur Rabbeinu. And Rashi brings that they got the reshus from the Nasi, from the head of the community, to serve as dayanim. And that stipulation, that requirement, that standard only applies to gzeilus v'chavolos and not to other forms of monetary dispute like hoidos v'halvois. Asks the Gemara, how can we make that distinction? How? What justifies this distinction? Mikosavra, what opinion, what approach are we adopting? Ikosavra, iruv parshios kosov kan. Oh, this is the whole discussion back in Bava Kamma. So basically we have like this. We have the psukim of the shomrim. You entrusted somebody with an item. We have the fellow who's doing it for free, Shem Rechinam, Shem Resach, right? And the Pasuk describes a confrontation between the owner and the Shomer. And the Shomer responds by saying, Ki hu zeh. And the Gemara learns that he's partially admitting, Ki hu zeh, I only owe you this and not that, right? That partial admission is called Moide b'miktas, and that triggers a Shavua. So the Shomer has to now back up his position with an oath, with a Shavua. So questions like this. And that's a big machlekes there, whether Eruv Parashios, which means that the psukim are sort of mixed up, which means to say that a shomer would have to swear regardless, even if he totally denies everything. And Rashi explains, you know why? Because a shomer does not feel indebted. After all, he's doing you a favor. So he can allow himself, so to speak, to deny everything. So his full denial doesn't necessarily indicate innocence. So even when he's in full denial, he has to make a shvua to justify it, to substantiate it. But a borrower who's confronted by his lender, with my money, oh, it's not 100, it's only 50 that I owe you. It raises a red flag. Perhaps he's having a hard time denying it, because after all, he feels indebted. He cannot bring himself to fully deny a teiva, a favor that was done to him, a gemilas chasad that was done to him. So if he would fully deny it, then you know he's probably right. But the fact that he's partially denying and partially admitting indicates that perhaps he's just, you know, procrastinating. It's a delay game, delay tactic. I owe you this, I'll pay, you know. He plans on paying him everything, but you know, it's sort of a tactic, a strategy that he's taking. So now we put him against the wall and say, you know what, you swear. It's really true, swear. But a shomer, who's not, you know, on the receiving end of any generosity, if he denies even fully, it doesn't mean that he's right. Could be he's just faking, so he has to make a shvur. So although the pasuk does make reference to a partial admission in the context of making a shvur, that's not pertaining to a shomer. He doesn't need a partial admission. Even if he's fully in denial, he has to make a shvur. Only a leiva, a borrower, to get him to make a shvua, he needs to partially admit to the claim. That's called Iruv Parshis, that the stipulation of the Moedev Miktsas, although it's stated within the context of the Shomrim, doesn't really belong here. A Shomer doesn't have that requirement of a Moedev Miktsas. The other opinion says, no, even a Shomer requires that. We don't say Iruv Parshis because of Khan. Even a Shomer will only swear if there's a partial admission. There's no difference between him and a borrower, okay? So now, as we mentioned before in the name of Rashi, the source of requiring three dayanim mumchim is from the word Elohim, which is mentioned three times in the parsha, in the Shomer, you know, discussion. So now, in discussing the requirements of the standards of the dayanim required for the halva deliberation, How can we differentiate between them and the Shomrim? Between them and the other monetary disputes. Mikosav, Ikosav, Iruv, Parshias, Kosav, Kan. If we say that the Psukim are sort of mixed up and the Kihuzeh, the partial admission requirement for Yeshua, relates to a borrower, and it happens to be inserted into the Shomrim discussion, Iruv, Parshias, Kosav, Kan, Liboy, Nami, Mumchen. Just like the Shomrim require three expert Dayanim, same thing with the person denying a loan. If you say that, no, there's no mix-up here, the mix-up requirement is going on the Shomer, and there's no, in this parasha, there's no discussion about a borrower. He's not discussed here, discussed elsewhere. So then, so there's no connection between the halacha of the three dayanim and all that to the halacha of halva. There's no correlation, because there's no discussion of halva in this parasha. So it's either or. How could you have it both ways? You're telling me that the Haidoas Valvois require three, but not Mumchen. Look, if they're covered by this parasha, three and Mumchen. If they're not covered, you don't need Mumchen or three. Shloshalam, Loyalam Kosav, Irav Parshas Kosav Khan. Let's take the first approach. Halvois are referenced in this parasha of Shemrim, Ubedinu Dilubayinami Mumchen, and truthfully, you would require three experts. So in a Torah it's required, the Chachamim suspended that requirement, they lowered the bar to make it more convenient, to make it more safe for lenders, to streamline the system, to make it less complex to go after your leiva. Mishum de Rechanina, don Rechanina dvar Torah, just as Rechanina tells us in a slightly different context, that min ha-Torah echad dinei mamonos v'echad dinei nefashos, whether the Bezdin is deliberating monetary issues or capital punishment issues, they need to do due diligence, full homework, cross-examine the witnesses, bedrisha v'chakira, what happened, where, what, how, right? Till they get to the bottom of the story. Shanama mishpat echad yolachem, we have a pasuk which discusses their maka behemo yishalmena, or maka adam yumas, a person kills an animal, he has to pay, a person strikes a person, he's put to death. So the pasuk they refers to monetary damages and personal capital punishment, and the pasuk continues there, the next pasuk, we equate it to, we connect it to. They run along the same track. Mishpat echad yolachem, the same process, the same guidelines apply to both. So just like we're thoroughly going to investigate, edim and pertain it to dinei nefashos, the same thing with dinei mamonos. Uma atam amru dinei mamonos lo yibayin drisha v'chakir. So why did the Chachamim suspend the drisha v'chakir requirement when it comes to accepting testimony pertaining to dinei mamonos kadesh lo yitino yo deles lifnei loivin? We don't want to make it difficult for borrowers to get their loans. We don't want doors slammed in their faces. We don't want lenders to be discouraged, knowing that they're going to have to, you know, resort and be pulled through, you know, the complex gamut of the Bezdin process, right? Which makes it difficult for them to collect on their loans. Likewise in Abu Gemara. Dinei mamonos b'shloisha means shloisha but not mumchen, because by halvois make it easier to get to, you know, a speedy conclusion. Asks the Gemara Lamiata Tola Yishalmu, if that's the case, that by dinei mamonos, ordinary dinei mamonos, three dayanim, ordinary dayanim, not experts, are qualified. So as we know that there's halacha when a dayan mumcha errors, he makes a mistake in his judgment, he's not responsible. That's the halacha, it's pater. A non-mumcha, if he makes a mistake, who else should get involved? Yochai. But in dinei mamonos, such as halvois, where we are qualifying even ordinary dayanim, so once they're qualified, they have the authority. If they have the authority, if they made a mistake, me'ata to lo yisham, they shouldn't have to pay. And the Gemara later sounds like they do have to. Answers the Gemara, koshkein ata noyal delitz lifnei loivin. The whole point is, facilitate loans. Well, the lender is going to hesitate to lend money because he knows that eventually it's going to end up in front of three ordinary dayanim who might not really be proficient, the halachis, and they might make him lose. They might error in their judgment. If they're not responsible for that, then why would he lend the money in the first place? He doesn't want to take the risk. Okay, let's stop here. Make a quick chazorah. We discussed the three levels of the batei dinim. We have the basic bezdin of shloisha, which typically pertains to monetary issues. According to the Gemara now, it's only specific monetary issues. that require mumchen. Then we move up to the Esrim Vishloisha, which pertains to capital punishment misa, whether it's a person or even an animal. Then we have the Bezna Shoshivim Echad, the Grand Bezna, which discusses more severe and serious cases. And we discuss the number of 120 or 230 required in the city to justify the Bezna of Esrim Vishloisha. And we learned about the sources for three Dayanim. That's the triple mention of the word Elohim. 23 is from the Ada versus the Ada, plus to get the, you know, possibility of tipping the scale with the majority and leave it, you know, uneven. That requires 23. And the Shivim Ba'echa, that's from Moshe Rabbeinu with the Shivim Zakenim. All the best to you and much, much Hatzlacha.